You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody have your Bibles? I have some things on my heart I want to share with you. You know, usually that's what I do anyway. I just share what's burning in me. I don't have a lesson plan for the year, although we'll find if you come here often throughout the year, we do tend to teach on eternal life and salvation pretty much once a year or so, and we teach on, of course, the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Try to do that about once a year and teach on forgiveness and love and certain things. But it's not a schedule per se. We just flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe Brother Osteen used to say this. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad, was our pastor. He used to say, hang loose, travel light, and don't get flabby. That last part's always the hard part. But anyway, you know, we want to hang loose and want to travel light. Hallelujah. We want to flow with the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, it's not a regiment in law and legalism that you need. You need a revelation of God. You need a revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's for you, not against you. Amen. John 15. Turn with me there. We'll start there. Have our fireside chat here. 15th chapter of John. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank God we've got four Gospels. You know, some people say, why don't you just have one? Well, how could one person describe Jesus? Yeah. My question is, why do we have just four? I think it ought to be 100 of them. And really, you'll be finding out about him when you get to heaven forever. You know, aspects and shades of Jesus and just, you know, that you didn't know. I mean, he is so much richer and so much deeper and so much better than you could ever dream or imagine. It's more than your little mind can comprehend. But he's given us some here, some aspects of him and some truths about enough for us to get saved, enough for us to recognize his love. And he's given us instruction. Thank God I know how to live. I mean, if I were left at the mercy of this world, this world, if you hadn't figured it out, is conflicted. It's confused. I mean, when you say you're going to be like the world, what world? They're not even like each other. What are you talking about? There are so many groups and cliques and causes out there outside of the cause of Christ that absolutely run over each other, vying for the seat, you know, for the king of the mountain. They're so confused. My, thank God I have the Bible. Yes. Something tried, tested, and true. God's Word, you know. Something that's eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. His Word will never pass away. I don't know what to do, but God does. Yeah. Amen. I don't have all the answers, but He does. Hallelujah. And so we have the Bible to check in to find out how to have a good marriage. You know, how am I supposed to act around people? What am I supposed to do when trouble comes? And thank God we have the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, thank God, I have enough sense to realize I don't know it all. Amen. How about you? Yeah. Yes. That's probably the greatest revelation you will ever receive from God. John Osteen used to say this all the time. You know, he'd get up and he'd jump and he'd shout. Of course, he was a preacher's preacher. I mean, he was, you know, God bless Joe, but Brother Osteen was just the opposite of Joe in style. Joe would stand up there and talk. And, you know, Brother Osteen, he was like this. He was just, he was so exciting. He was so, just totally different kind of ministry. Thank God for Joe. Not to demean him. He's doing okay. But Brother Osteen would do this. You know, he'd say, do you want to know what is the greatest revelation I ever received from God? And I'm going, yeah, well, yeah, sure. Well, if you really want to know, raise up your hand. And boy, we'd go, yeah. And he says, now you really, 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 really want to know what the greatest revelation I ever received, like he's, you know, jump roping, ever received from God. We go, yeah, well, raise up your other hand. We're going, of course, you know how it goes through the whole thing. Finally, you're standing up. We'll shout, ah, we're going, okay, here it is. Here it is. This is it. Changed my life. The greatest revelation I've ever received from God. God is smarter than I am. You know, we're going, that's it? But that is it. That is the greatest revelation you will ever receive from God. That God is smarter than you are. Thank God He is. Amen. Well, with that in mind, let's look at what he says here. John 15 chapter. Notice what it says in the... Goodness, this whole thing's just awesome. I'm out of breath from just trying to act like Brother Osteen. Fourth verse, 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Well, that's profound. Isn't that good? So we need to spend some time with him and abide in him, or we're not going to be fruitful in our life. We can exist, but we'll have a dry life, purposeless life, and we won't have fruit in our life. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Fifth verse. I am the vine. I love this verse. You are the branches. You need to figure this out one day. You are a satellite going around the sun. You will never be the sun. You will always be a satellite. The problem with Adam and Eve is they tried to be nouns and they were just adjectives. You will never be the noun. You will always be an adjective. That's okay. That's good. We can compliment him. We can revolve around him. Amen? We can testify him, but we're not him. We need him. Amen? Without him, we're nothing. In fact, he goes on and says this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Boy, y'all sound real excited about this. Trying to help you. You know, I think at the end of the year we should reflect on our lives and reflect on what we've done, accomplished, and so on and so forth. But we ought to keep in mind always that there's more we can do. We can improve. We can do better. We hadn't done everything there is to do. We need help, and we know where to go get it. Amen. You need to look at your life, look at your marriage, look at your business, look at whatever the case may be. I mean, have you been as kind as you should be this year? Probably not. How many of you have probably done some good? Thank God for it. But I think you can do better. No, I didn't bring you in here to tell you how wicked no good you were. I mean, even a hog quits coming to slop if you hit him on the head with a two before every time he shows up. Don't you love these East Texas examples? So, and God's not mad at us. He's not upset with us. He loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. I think he's pleased at our efforts and so on. But we're not perfect. We know that. We're complete in him. Yes, I'm the righteousness of God without a question. But also know that I have room for improvement. I have room to grow. There are things I don't know that he knows. There are things I can do better, but I can't do them without him.
That's right.
Without him, I'm nothing. So as I reflect on my life at the end of this year, going into the next year, I'm reminded of how much more I really do need him. All that I've accomplished and all that I've done and all the changes that have taken place in my life, I can do better. I really can't. That's not to beat myself over the head. That's not to be so introspective and so analytical that I stalemate and don't do anything. You can get paralysis of analysis. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying hit yourself over the head. Don't do that. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's just saying, abide in me. Come on, there's something better. I want to take you higher. I want to take you to another level. I think you can do more. I'm proud of you. You've done great, but let's take it on to the next level. Let's go on a little further. Let's be a little kinder. Let's be love people more than we have loved them in the past. You've done good. Let's do better.
Amen.
You haven't arrived. I think the danger in getting older is that you tend to get satisfied. You don't take as many risks. You don't reach out for as much help. In fact, it's hard to buy a Christmas present for someone that's mature. What do y'all need? Don't need anything. Got everything I need. Are you with me? You ever run into that? Oh, don't give me, I got everything I need, you know. And I understand that monetarily and Christmas gifty. I understand that. But I tell you what, there's a lot we still need as we grow older. Now, don't make the mistake of asking the child what they need for Christmas. Unless you got a tape recorder, you know. You're going to hear everything in the world they can imagine and dream of. There's a lot of things they need. And I'm reminded, too, what Jesus said, except you come as a little child, you'll no longer enter the kingdom. See, think about that. Because a child knows he needs everything Jesus has. A child comes to Jesus with the idea that, hey, I don't have anything. I need everything God has. I am in need. As we grow into Christianity, sometimes we settle down and get complacent and think we don't need anything. Well, man, how could you get any nicer than me? And being reminded of where I came from, sometimes we think we've already arrived, but we haven't. already arrived. I'm saved and going to heaven, thank God. But you know, Paul said, I don't run like I've already attained. I press for the mark. He said, now forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Not as if I'd already attained. What he's saying is he's going to move on. He's going to go further. He's going to take it higher. Hallelujah. In the words of an old 70s song, Jesus wants to take you higher. Okay. Higher spiritually. Okay. Fifth verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Don't ever forget that. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. Amen. We need him to change us. I need him more than I ever needed him. Hallelujah. I needed him when I got saved without a question. I could not get saved any other way. With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. He did in saving me what I could never do by myself or no man could ever do. And I was in desperate need of a Savior. And I accepted him and he saved me and he forgave me and he washed me clean. And he just wiped out my past. It was just amazing. Made a new person out of me. I look at that person before I got saved and it's not me. That old man's dead. That person died. But I also realized all these years I've been serving, over 30 years, he has been making something out of me year by year by year. And I've needed him all along the way and still need him today. You know, you go through stages in your life where you're totally dependent. That's what a child is totally dependent. And then you become independent. That's when you have everything and know everything. You're 16. That's called independence. That's when you need to ask your children all the questions that you've had about life because they know everything when they're 16. Okay. And then they get a little older and they dumb down a little, you know. I was always amazed that I was so smart when I was a teenager. And I always wanted to be that smart again in my life. I just never could attain that. But anyway. And I was also always amazed at how dumb my parents were when I was 16 and how smart they got when I got older. I mean, something happened to my parents. I don't know. It was like they got hit with gamma rays or something. You know, they were just morphed into smart people when I got older. Are you out there? Okay. You go from dependence to independence, but then here's where you really start maturing when you become interdependent. When you realize you're just a part in the play. You are a part, but you're not the whole play. You're not all the actors in the play. You're not all the instruments in the orchestra. You know, you're a part, and you're a vital part, but you need each other. We all need each other. Amen? That's called interdependence. And then, of course, ultimately you realize that you've got to have Jesus every day of your life. I've got to have Jesus. To be saved, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. But I need him today. I need him to help me today. I need him to speak to me today. I need him to hone off some edges in me today, to awake me to things that I need to change. I need him to challenge me. I don't want to get complacent. I don't want the church to get complacent. I don't want me to get complacent. I'd like to get a little kinder, more forgiving, reach out to more people. Amen? A little bolder in my faith. Love that. I'd love that. Wouldn't you? I want to be more like Jesus. How about you? And see, you can't be like Jesus by yourself. You need him in order to be like him. That's why he's saying you need to come to him with that kind of childlike faith. With that, you have to realize you have a need. God will help you be like Jesus. He will. Now, if you want to be like yourself, you're on your own. He won't help you do that. You don't need any help for that. But you need some help to be like Jesus. If you want to be mean and hateful, you're on your own. God won't help you do that. But God will help you be like Jesus. That's the only kind of help he offers. He doesn't offer any. He won't help you be mean. He won't help you hate somebody. He won't help you be wicked. He won't help you be selfish and stingy. He won't help you do that. He won't help you tear up somebody's lives, but he will help you love people. Amen. He will help you. And you might be saying, well, you know what? I'd like to do that. I just can't do that. Well, that's a start. I think it's a good start to realize you're helpless without him. But you need to make the next step and realize that you are with him. And as sure as you can do nothing without him, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah. Now this is exciting stuff, and y'all need to settle down and let me finish my message. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. Yeah. But realizing also when I say that I know I need him. And without him, I can do nothing. Notice he goes on and says this. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Good, because when you get it, I'll move on. Like that preacher, you know, he's trying out for that pastor. Went in that church and preached that Sunday morning, just a great sermon. You know, it was a stem winder. Boy, they just loved it. He was spitting cotton, slinging arms. You know. Asked him to come back the next week and preach the same sermon. Asked him to come back the next week, preach the same sermon. And I asked him, I said, we're just kind of curious, why do you keep preaching the same sermon? He says, well, when you get it, I'll preach the next one. So, ooh, okay. It was a joke. It wasn't about you. It was about this, the church. Okay. Sixth verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I don't think he's talking about going to hell. If you accept Jesus, you're going to heaven. But your life's going to wither up for sure and dry up, burn up, if you don't stay in faith and stay in. I mean, the most miserable people in the world are Christians that don't serve God, that don't pray, they don't come to church. They know God, but I mean, there's just something missing. They're just, you know, because we were made for each other. I like that. I was made for you. You were made for me. Hallelujah. Y'all amen on the second part. You were made for me. I was made for you.
Amen.
We were made for each other.
Amen.
In fact, we were made to serve together. God made no lone rangers and raised up no mavericks. No, he called us to each other. Called us to others. I love that. He says here, if you abide in me, seventh verse, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will or you desire, and it will be done for you. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I can get my prayers answered if I will abide in him and stay in him and his words abide in me. Obviously, if I'm abiding in Jesus and his words abide in me, I'm going to ask the right thing because my will become his will. I wouldn't ask amiss because I'd be asking what the word says. And then I would be asking it out of the attitude of spending time with Jesus, loving people, loving God and loving people.
Amen.
Amen. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will or desire in it. What you ask will be done for you. Not something other than what you ask. Not something better than what you ask. Not something that you didn't ask that God felt like you needed besides what you ask. But it, what you ask, will be done for you. That was a mouthful right there. Probably went past a lot of you. But I think a lot of us think that. We pray for something and something else happens and we'll say, well, you know, I prayed for this, but God knew I needed this more.
Yeah.
Well, why did he tell you to ask then? Because if he's going to give it to you anyway, what you really need instead of what you asked for, then why waste your time and his?
That's right.
He wanted you to ask because that's protocol. That's the way God has the system set up. But he wants you to ask in faith and he wants you to ask according to his word and he wants you to ask after having spent time with him. Actually, spend time with him, you'll have no problem believing him. If you abide in him, your faith, you won't have a problem with faith. You'll know he loves you and is for you and wants to help you and bless you and make you the best you can be. You got no problem if you'll spend time with him and asking him.
Amen.
Amen. And what he'll give you is what you ask for, not something you don't ask for.
Amen.
Amen. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you will or desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In other words, bearing fruit, having answered prayer, having people's lives changed, touching different lives, and so on and so forth, glorifies God. It is God's will for our, his purpose for our life, his destiny for our life. But you know, unless we abide in him and grow and improve, unless we know that without him we can do nothing, we're not going to have that happening. Make sense? And so when I think about my life, I want that to continue to happen. I want to keep glorifying God by bearing much fruit. And the only way I'm going to do that is to abide in him and have his word abide in me, because without him I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And hallelujah, I'm not without him. In fact, I hadn't been alone a day in my life since I got saved. He has never left me, he's never left me either. But he's never left me, nor forsaken me. I get so hung up on King James, you know, I read it for so many years. And what comes out of me a lot of times is King Jimmy. And I realize we don't say forsooth, peradventure, hitherto, yea, verily, verily. But still, it just comes out that way. So he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God he ain't leave thee. Leave thee or forsaken thee. He's still with thee. Okay, stay with me now. By this my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit. Fruit how? Not just souls, not just people, but answered prayer. That's what he just got through talking about. And how does all that happen? By realizing that God's smarter than you are. Amen. Amen. By coming to him when you're time of need. Yeah. By reaching up. Hallelujah. Yeah. And knowing you can't do this thing alone. No. Praise God, you got some help. Amen. You know what we have here in this church? And thank God for International Outreach Church. Thank God for the passion in this church. There's excitement. There's electricity in here. I love it. Love it. There's people that love God and really want to hear from God. We come hungry. I think two things you ought to come to church with. You ought to come with a hunger and a willingness to change. You do that, you'll always be okay. Just come hungry and be willing to change. Because you're going to hear things that are going to challenge you, going to shake you, some things you need to work on. That's good. That's okay. God loves you. He just wants to make the best out of you. He's not beating you on the head. He's trying to help you and trying to make something out of you. Amen? But if you come hungry enough for him and hungry enough for his will, you'll be willing to change. Amen. And I love that. I love the excitement that we have in our church. We're passionate about Jesus. We want what he wants. I want what he wants.
Amen.
Amen. And so what he's trying to get us to do is he wants to use us to bear fruit. We want to grow. Not so we can put a notch on our gun, you know, and take another one down. Another one bites the dust. No. We want people to be saved because God wants people to be saved. We want people to go to heaven and live forever. Hallelujah. I got a hold of something I want somebody else to get a hold of. This is so good. I just can't contain this. I got to share this.
Amen.
Amen. And this is God's will for us to bear fruit, to change. I love what Pekka shared earlier about God putting certain people in his path, the right people in his path, to bring him out of those drugs, to bring him out of that desperation, to bring him out of that agony and the road to hell. Thank God, God put people in my life. Tell me the good news. To find out I could make it. To find out that God loved me, that he was for me. And he changed me. Completely changed me. I am not the same. Thank God I have been changed. If you knew me before I got saved and God said, there he is, you're a pastor. Who knows, you might not have got saved. If he'd shown you me. Man, I had this afro. And it was natural. I had a pick. I used to pick, you know, the pick. Remember the pick? You had to be careful when you put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
It hurt. Anyway, pick. I had a headband I used to wear. And when I'd put it on, you can imagine I had hair like this. When it was wet, come down the middle of my back. That's how long it was. And when I put the headband on, my hair would go down like this and then. Okay. Now me, this is how smart I was. I thought I was cool. I thought I was so cool. I remember I had this purple shirt. I had these purple corduroy pants with bell bottoms. Come on, man. I was cool. I was cool. It's lost as a goose. Absolutely lost as a goose. Thank God I got delivered. Thank God. Aren't you glad that God...
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. Come on. You know, but one day I realized, you know what? I wasn't so cool. I was just a fool. One day I realized I need something more than what I've got here. You know, Brenda, when we got married real young, she was saved. And wasn't really involved in church after we got married. She never did the things I did. Didn't like any of my friends. I never understood that. Hated my friends. Thank God. She did. But Brenda was just the same all the time. And I woke up in a new world every day. Oh, really? I mean, it's just a new world. In fact, sometimes I didn't know what world I woke up into. You know, I mean, that's the way I lived. But there was a consistency in Brenda. In fact, Brenda actually got back in church before I got saved. Started going to church. And I remember two guys came knocking on the door from the church that Brenda had visited. Visitation night. Two young guys knocked on the door, and I opened up the door, and this clean-cut guy standing there saying, yes, we're here to see Brenda Williams. Brenda Williams here. And I stepped out, closed the door, and says, yeah, she's here. What do you want with her? Come on. And I'm such an idiot. And then I saw those Bibles, and I said, well, and they got a little nervous, and they said, she came visit our church, and I said, Come on in. Brother, there's a couple guys to see here, and I went to the back bedroom and waited till they left. Because those Bibles scared me more than anything. Hello. But she made a difference in my life. She's so steady and prayed for me, you know. And she used to try to witness to me, and I wouldn't listen to her. In fact, I'd tell her, you know, Brenda, that's fine. You believe that, that's fine. But see, I was too smart. I said, I don't believe that stuff. I think that's just a big excuse, crutch that people use. But, you know, if it helps you and you feel good about it, that's fine. But just don't talk to me about that. Didn't I? I used to tell her that. And she would just pray for me, you know. And phew. Whew. But one day I realized that God was smarter than I was. I realized I didn't have it together. I realized I didn't know everything. And you know what? I still don't know everything. I still need Him. I need Him every day. Without Him, I'm nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And I'm here for a purpose, to bear fruit. I need to get with Him to do that. He's got to change me. He's got to make me likable. You know what I'm saying? When I first got saved, I wasn't even all that likable then. You know, I didn't have... Well, really, you kind of have to earn a right to speak into people's lives. God's got to change you for them to want to be like you. I mean, a lot of people get saved, and they're witnessing everybody, but who in the world wants to be like that knucklehead? You know, I'm thinking, man, you know, we got to hone some edges off of us. Where was I? Okay. Yeah, okay, get all that out of your mind. Old past. 8th verse, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Amen. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Isn't that good? That's a good way to think about this year and start the next one. He goes on and says this, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain, my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You want real joy this coming year? Real simple. Abide in God. Abide in Jesus. Abide in His Word. Keep His Word in you, and then ask Him to change you. It's a good prayer. Lord, change me. Make me more like you. You'll never regret when you get older. You'll never regret having loved people. You will never regret having been merciful. You will never regret having been kind and living right. Never. You'll never, ever in the last days of your life think, oh, wow, I think I lived too, I think I was too holy. I think I was too nice. I think I was too kind. I should have been meaner. Are you kidding? No one ever thinks like that. No one ever gets older and says, you know, I should have been a lot more bitter. I was way too forgiving. I should have broke more laws. You don't live your life and wish you'd been like that. You live your life and wish you'd been nicer and kinder. The regrets that you have are times that you just didn't do the right thing. Now, you can't live in regret, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know what? That tells me I can improve here. I can do better here. Amen. But I got to recognize a need. I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm complete in Him. I know that positionally I'm in Christ and all that. But I also know, practically, on a practical level, the way I live, there's some things I need to work on. Okay, and I don't need you to amen me on that. Okay? In fact, turn to Mark 2. Yeah, Mark 2. This is good. See, God can work with you, though, if you realize that. He has a hard time working with you when you don't think you need anything. He has a real hard time working with you when you think you've already arrived. You already got it all figured out. No, you need to make a habit of coming to Him and saying, God, help me. Give me wisdom today. I don't know what to do here, but you do. Thank you for showing me what you'd have me to do. How'd I handle this situation? Did I handle that one right, Lord? Did I do that right? Let's examine this. You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. Take a little test, you know, at the end of the day. And check yourself out. Did I do this right or that right? Don't beat yourself over the head. Repent if you've done wrong. Ask God to help you, but learn. I know experience is a hard teacher, but there's something worse than learning from experience. It's not learning from experience. Amen. Learning from experience is a hard road to go. I mean, it's better to figure it out before you go through the mess and avoid the mess. But if you have gone through the mess and you have sinned, you have messed up, learn from it. At least do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Mark 2. Boy, this is serious this morning. I didn't know y'all were in such sin. I just thought I was going. Mark 2. This helping you?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark 2, notice the 15th verse. Now it happened as he was dining. Oh, this is an awesome story. In Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" They thought the same thing about tax collectors back then. They threw him in with sinners. Brother Osteen used to throw in, of course, he came out of a different era, you know, but he used to throw in going to movies along with adultery and murder. You know, he says, "Now you don't go to hell for adultery and murder and going to movies." I'm thinking, I hope not. But in his day, he got saved selling popcorn at the ISIS theater in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where he got saved. And so, you know, that was just, Hollywood was always just the ungodly thing. Of course, it is pretty ungodly today, too, but there are some Christian movies, and stay with me. But his background was always that way. He always shared it that way. We'd all just kind of be stunned and never told him we went to a movie. But this probably is still accurate today, tax collectors and sinners. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm making a joke that you did not get. The Pharisees were so righteous. They were so right. They were so good. They were there. They were, you know, they were God's men of the hour, full of faith and full of power, ministering the Holy Ghost from coast to coast. I mean, they had it all. They had it going on. And the idea that Jesus would actually sit with sinners, tax collectors, when he was so above all that. See, we often get that way too. I think that's, I'm not teaching on that per se, but you got to watch looking down your nose at people that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because you were lost one day too, and I got no stones to throw. I mean, I can be around people, just if they're just lost and ungodly and undone, they just need Jesus. Now, I'm not going to just hang out with them all the time, but I want to love them and minister to them and be civil and decent and pray for them. And I don't want them to have the idea that I hate them and I'm against them and I think I'm better than they are. The only difference between me and them is I have Jesus, they don't. If they accept Jesus, they can be saved too.
That's right.
We'll have churches like that, you know, look down on people that come in the church that are lost or dressed different or smell different, or their hair's different, or it's not even a natural color. Hello. Yeah. Or they got, you know, they got earrings where they're not supposed to be, you know. Now, I'm not advocating this. Now, stay with me. I'm not saying y'all go do this. I'm just saying that there's people that are lost and do not know God. What are you going to do, clean everybody up and then bring them here and preach to them? Or clean everybody up before you tell them about Jesus? That's like a fisherman jumping off his boat with his fillet knife, going down into the deep, finding a fish, fillet it, and then hook the fillet on a hook. You catch them first, you clean them later.
Amen.
And they were against Jesus because of this, because he sat down there with the sinners. Oh, come on, man. It's the sinners that need Jesus.
That's right.
It's the lost people that need to be saved. Yeah, I've changed, and I kid about the way I look. And did, you know, but that's just, I was lost. I just needed Jesus. And besides that, you can still be saved and have an afro. See, there you got a revelation today, didn't you? I saw it light up in you. Wow, you can have an afro. Your hair can be green. Or it can be blue. Now, come on, old ladies have blue hair. We never said anything about that. Okay, well, I'm going to get in trouble. I'll quit. So anyway, I think I'm already in trouble. Okay. So, I don't know where I'm going with this. Okay. 16th verse. And when the scribes, the religious people and the Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, profound statement here, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
You know, as a Christian, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint. I understand that. But I still got a lot of room for improvement. But God will never improve me if I don't know I need improvement. He's not calling me to go higher if I'm already higher. He's calling me to go higher because I'm not where I can be. You know, so I guess you could sum it up and just say, do you need a doctor? I think you do. I think we all do. We need Dr. Jesus. I mean, we got healed in some areas, but there's probably some areas we need a little work on. And you know, when you go to a doctor, you don't start telling them all the things that are right with you. Isn't that right? Men are bad about it. Men don't go to the doctor. You know why? Because men don't have problems. Men don't ask directions. Men don't go to the doctor.
Amen.
Honey, it's been an hour. Would you pull over to the gas station and find out where we are? I know where we are. We'll find it. We're going to go over one more hill, one more light, and we'll turn around. Then I'll do it. You know why? Because we don't think we need help. But that's why God gave us women, to remind us constantly that we need help. No. You didn't catch that one. You know, I'm tickled. You know, when you go to the doctor or something, this is what amazes me. You sit down there, and the doctor, I ask you, okay, what's going on here? And then they'll say, this is insulting. They'll say, well, let me talk to your wife a minute.
Yeah.
I just told you there was nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Well, let me talk to your wife. And they'll talk, the wife will begin to explain some things that have been going on. Well, he's been having this pain, and he's been complaining about this and that. And so, okay, good. So the doctor comes back in. And then start running tests. You know, that happens a lot. Doctors will tell you they get more out of the wife than they can the man about him. Because we don't like to admit we got problems. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Come on. I'm looking right at Fred. I'm trying to get some help here. Melissa's laughing at me. But see, if you don't think you have problems, you won't go to the doctor. That's the point I'm making here. You won't go there. And then if you ever kind of decide you will go there, you just start talking about how good you are and how good things you're doing. This is fine. And boy, my elbow's just doing great. It's just wonderful. Works great. Wonderful. Your knee's out of whack, but you know, you don't want to talk about that. Good elbow. You go to the doctor to tell him about things you have problems with so he can help you. And Jesus didn't come to the whole. He came to the sick. Now, I'm not sick in Jesus' name. That's not what I'm saying. But I have got needs. I've got things to improve on. I can do nothing without him. Without him, I'm nothing. And I want to come like a child. I want everything he's got. I want it all. Just call me Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. I'm not being greedy per se. Just know I got a long ways to go. I can love more. I can forgive more. I can shine my light more. I can preach better. I can teach better. I can reach more people. I can connect better. I can be a better witness and a better light and a better example of Jesus Christ. I can do more. God, help me do more. Help me, God. I'm coming to you, Dr. Jesus. I'm coming to you, and I have a need. Will you help me? And yes, he will. He'll help you. He'll show you things you need to work on, and he'll tell you how to do it. But you got to admit you have a need first. Amen?
Amen?
And if you do that, he will help you. Praise God. You can hook into that vine, and this branch will flourish, and you will bear fruit, and God will be glorified.
Amen.
So, you know, a good way to end the year, it's the last service of the year for us here in 2008. Is to do a little self-examination. Check yourself out. Examine your life and your witness and your spiritual walk and ask God to help you. But don't think you've arrived. Don't think this church has arrived either. We're going to take it to the next level.
Amen?
We're going to take it to the next level. We're going to reach more people. We're going to do more. We're going to go further. Hallelujah. Because we haven't scratched the surface of what God has in store for us. Amen?